What? What happened?
They're crusty.
The plastics all come off, and so it leaves all that plastic on my ears.
Well, well, well.
Well, well, well.
I think you were officially, before this episode, our most frequent guest.
I'm honored. I listened to it. I love the podcast. It's fabulous.
We had, I can't think of another compliment that would exceed this one, Marty Bender, who is more or less responsible for me being on the Bob and Tom Show, texted us and said he lives in Chicago now and he drives back and forth to Indianapolis every now and then. And he said, I just wanted to tell you I am proud. And there was another positive word in there that my upbringing is blocking in my brain. But he looks forward to listening to the OTA podcast, and he said it was better than any radio show he could listen to.
We had talked about it off the air. I was listening to some program, and they were talking about going through the data about podcasts. It's really blowing up, especially it's a very much generational thing, and it's going great, and this one is dynamite.
Dynamite. Boom goes the dynamite. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a saying?
Is it?
Are we actually on yet?
Is it a thing?
Yes. We record and...
We record for a little bit and talk, and then we play our new theme song.
Okay.
Well, that's not our new theme song. Hang on.
Nope.
Nope. That's not our new theme song.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's not our new theme song.
That's our new theme song.
I love it.
Now, see if you don't agree with everyone else and that Jess is on this track.
Rusty days of light shine down on his face.
Bob Schneier.
By the blood from the knife wound fills the place. Back up the bag, let's get out of here. While the sirens start to fill the air. Lumbling and gurgling and body still. This is only some kind of bad dream.
How are we gonna get out of this shit we're in?
Don't worry, baby, I'll figure out something. Give them a slip, they won't
nothing
be expecting
this.
Slip them a Nicky and give them a finger. I had a finger for a ringer, but I had no idea the DEA was using the singer. But sorry, cause I love you, baby.
Hi, welcome back to the Off the Air Podcast.
Sorry, cause I love you, baby.
Right, Jess?
Right.
I'm ready.
Let's roll. Sorry, cause I love you, baby.
She's ready. Oh, thanks for downloading us.
Cause I love you, baby.
And we're getting a lot of questions on Bob Schneider's latest album. It's called King Kong. There's a 5-song EP available at iTunes. But if you'd like to hold the whole album, it's available at Pledge Music. And then you have to / Bob Schneider or something like that. I don't know how it works. But I tweeted
about
it.
How about we figure it out and we'll put it up on the website when we post this podcast?
Well, we tried to do that.
No?
Said the voice of reason. That's a good idea. Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Perhaps we could talk about that right away, Dr. Will.
Sure. What?
She seems a little edgy. What's her problem?
Well, I noticed that. This is like a space issue. People could see, if this is being filmed, we can see this. Probably about maybe 10 feet between you.
Right. Let's roll.
And
he is a professional.
That's right.
Yeah. It's about 10 feet between you. And you say, yeah, you know, I'm good at reading vibes. There's, uh-huh. there's a vibe uh-huh. going on.
Definitely there's a vibe. It's not towards him. It's we've had little sleep the last 3 days.
Because?
Addie's seizing through the night.
Oh, dear.
So it was 15 seizures Sunday night, 9 seizures the night before last, and 5 last night.
I'm so sorry. That is just dreadful.
Yeah.
And you know I have a niece, two
yeah.
nieces
yeah.
who've been through this.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so... It's just a lack of sleep. That's yeah. all it is.
Yep.
Like it's not. I
no,
feel
I knew
fine.
That. And you know, I was
I
saying
am
that.
Happy. I'm just tired.
I was saying that.
No,
as
you
a
were
joke,
attacking you know. Me. Is what you were doing? I know that.
No, and Addie is in the studio with us today.
She is every day.
Precious little girl.
And her T-shirts are going to be here any minute, right? I hope.
Anyway. Yeah, we have a
We've
our friend
PG
put a logo together, and we're going to have some T-shirts made. Just to.
Drum
for the cause,
some,
drum up some
support.
And for Senate Bill 284 that died. So now we have to wait until the next session. But
I don't know. Of course, Dr. Will has how many degrees, Doc?
Graduate degrees, 5.
Yeah, that's 5. That's let me think. Total, now, if I'm doing the math right, that's 5 more than I have. And my point is... I was unaware of the medical marijuana situation until someone close to me, this happened. Obviously, it's sad and awful and tragic, but this is like with a lot of issues, you don't really find out about it until it affects you, which
is
selfish and awful, but that's the way the world is.
Someone gets a diagnosis, for example, and suddenly you become a student of the illness that they have.
Right. I took her to the pediatrician, just general practitioner, the other day for your regular checkups, you know, and I was kind of telling him other things that have been going on with the neurologist and stuff. And he goes, I'm going to be very honest. He goes, you're probably more of an expert on seizure disorder than I am right now.
Yeah.
Just because you're a mother and you're living it and you know. Yeah.
I really should. I'm sorry, Chick. Connect you with my niece because they're in Washington D.C.
Get some Redskins tickets.
Yes, you can do that. Yeah, he's like a big guy in like the military. He's like
Oh, really?
He's like a black ops guy. Her husband,
chief surgeon of the.
He was there when they got Saddam Hussein. In fact.
He was there.
He was that guy. It's a great story about him.
Holy
moly! But before
moly.
I lose this, Leslie. Has dealt with this her whole life, and she's been connected to Johns Hopkins University, and apparently they are one of the leaders.
Yes,
in
and
this.
They are the ones. It was there that they developed the ketogenic diet.
Okay, I'm going to put you in touch with Leslie.
Yeah, would be great.
Yeah, because they've been schooled in this for a long time, as have you.
But what I was going to say was, I was under the wrong impression that medical marijuana. Oh well. Here's how far I took it in my stupidity. I thought, well, if Addie needs this marijuana and it stops these seizures, I'm okay with her getting high if her parents are. I mean, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously that's not, there's a part
there
of
marijuana. There is medicinal marijuana that contains THC and they treat other things with it.
But this what part we need of marijuana is CBD, it's the lowest part. That's the lowest possible THC you can have. And
it's void of THC.
And you don't even. Yeah. So
yeah, there is no high from CBD oil.
So I think that might be part of the problem.
A common misconception.
And looking at medicinal marijuana is that, you know, we can't have kids getting.
Right.
But medicinal marijuana is with THC is
there are some
for adults.
There's some adults and there are some children if their condition needs it that they do there's a percentage of THC and CBD in some of the medicinal marijuana that they use. It just depends on what the child needs. There's a ratio that they use.
So in addition to everything else that some like person who's been elected to the state legislature. You know, some guy who ran a hardware store and now he's like in the state legislature, having to know across all of these things. Mm-hmm. We are now asking that person to also be literate in the chemistry of these interventions that will help children. But it's like, what? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and you hear marijuana and you hear.
That's right.
There's there's the negative. Yeah.
I mean, it's far more accepted than it was whenever Colorado and.
But people only think about it from a law enforcement perspective, not from a medical perspective.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, people who hear medical marijuana say, oh, yeah, that's just some person trying to get an excuse to get high.
Well, yeah, I mean,
we have friends who are comedians.
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect towards the comedians who have come through here for years and said, oh, yeah, I'm depressed and they gave me a red card in California and now I get, good for you. That's fine if that's what treats it. But Addie and I are actually headed to Colorado in April.
Great.
And we're going to try it and we're going to talk to some people. We're going to spend an extended period of time out there and do that. And if that doesn't work, we're going to come home and we are going to, she'll be admitted to the hospital for a while and we're going to start the ketogenic diet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Like it or not, this is, you're now have a new mission.
You do. And you didn't think, you know, that's what I told somebody the other day. Do you think that, did I think I would be trying to change legislation, like pass laws and do, no, I could, I really didn't have.
That wasn't on your radar.
It wasn't on my radar, but.
But this explains a lot if I want to be.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to go off on a tangent, but this is the way I think. And I apologize before I start saying all this.
Don't apologize for how you think.
No, but Jess has always been looking and searching and wanting to find what her talent and her vocation and all of this is. Maybe this is a way of her hanging on to obvious talent she has in public relations and something she can be passionate about and something that will stick.
Mm-hmm.
What more important to you than your children? And maybe this is what you're supposed to do.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, as a therapist, I got to tell you, a lot of times when people come to me at varying ages, it's because they, you know, they have all of this, these assets. You know, they're intelligent, they're passionate, but they have nothing to lock onto it. There's a great psychologist named Ernest Becker who one time was talking about artists and said, artists can be the healthiest people because the inner turmoil comes out onto a canvas. And so he was talking about, say, Van Gogh. You think about Van Gogh was insane. Well, yeah, he was insane, but in fact, he would have been completely non-functional insane except for the art that came out of him onto the canvas. Now let's extrapolate that and talk about that in broad terms. You have all of this intelligence, all of this rumbling around, all of this energy inside, but it didn't have a canvas. Well, now it's got a canvas, something to put out.
Yeah.
And that's great. And it's going to direct you. And hey, way leading on to way, you don't know where this is going to go.
Right. I don't. And it's
I'm proud of you.
Because thanks. I'm homeschooling Addie right now as she reads her chapter book and sits here. And I realized that I wasn't feeding myself. And that how you could get so caught up in this and you could, you'd suffer. You personally would suffer. And so actually, I a couple weeks ago, I started yoga teacher training.
Excellent.
And so just to get better in my practice and also to provide it as a form of treatment for Addie. So
I'm a big fan. I've started transcendental meditation.
Yeah.
And that really is wonderful, too. And the David Lynch Foundation, David Lynch, the producer, of Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
You know
sure.
I mean?
Yeah.
And
Blue Velvet. Great.
Yeah. And Seinfeld and, Clint Eastwood. I remember I met Clint Eastwood one time when I was with Nickelodeon and he's passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And he just openly credits the fact that he's like 109 years. He's like 84 years old and he's still doing first rate, American Sniper films.
Yeah.
And he credits it to the balance that he's had and they're teaching it to children now.
Yeah.
They're having children do it. And it's a very, calm centering, lowers your heart rate, lowers your blood pressure. It's awesome.
I keep wanting to do this.
Should.
And I keep falling asleep every time I try to do it. No, but I love Jerry and I read and watch everything I can about him. And he said that, how every now and then you get that great night's sleep.
Yes.
You wake up in the morning, it's like, oh, you're so rested. He goes, I feel that way every single day after I've meditated for like a half hour or 45.
He's been doing it for 40 years.
What is the secret?
The secret is continue to do it.
You know what
practice.
Yeah, practice. In other words, you can't judge from your first time how it's going. You have just get the instruction and follow it and,
I have noticed though lately, especially is that, there was a period in my life when I was really struggling and emotionally, and I would dread having to come in here and be on the Bob and Tom show. I mean, it would be everything I could do to get out of bed, let alone do whatever it is I do. But lately, like within the past month, maybe 6 weeks, I've kind of thought, well, you know what? Maybe this is a way I can, and it really does help.
Yes.
And I didn't even know. Because I don't.
What helped?
Being on the show and starting to concentrate on the show and letting whatever flows.
How long has OTA been live? How long?
Years in July.
3 years.
It'll be 3 years in July.
See, one of the things that that happens is my mother-in-law, she died at 94, and she was a therapist for 70 years, and she was our inspiration. Maggie, she's from Virginia. And she's the one who told me when I was going to Columbia to study to be a therapist, she said, now, Will, my advice to you is even if you want to work with neurotics, go train with the sickest people you can find. And she said to me, because when you see people whose psyches are really broken and suffering, it helps you understand when you're seeing people who are just sort of garden variety neurotics. It's like, you have no idea how healthy you are by comparison. But anyway, she used to say, growth is not like some straight line up. It's kind of like the stock market goes up, jogs down, comes up again. And over time, it kind of happens. Well, I would submit to you, my friend, is that, and I've told you this in earlier episodes, the easy, natural, cathartic process of this, of talking about something unguarded about who you are, the revelation and clarity of revealing yourself, you and Jess, and compared to sort of the cast orientation that you have to have on the show, which you do with superb excellence. But this is a tremendous outlet that is
No, yeah, absolutely.
It's healing. I mean, and so when you think about that track, over 3 years, what's happened to you is changing you. Plus, let me just add this as I blather on. A high percentage of the people coming to me for therapy now, guess what age they are? 48 to 55. It's like that age group somehow in America.
I wonder why
that is. I think there are some social reasons. I think there are some certainly psychological reasons. I think, you know, when, by the time you get into your like 40s, early 50s, a couple of things are happening for a lot of people. The dependence of children maybe is starting to shift. You know, mm-hmm. the kids are getting a little older. And it's amazing how many people I see who are suffering with empty nest syndrome, but they're still in the nest, but they're 11 or 12 and they're already like anticipating that it's going. Mm-hmm. Plus your job or your career is at some turning point. You know, it's like, am I gonna still be passionate about what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. Are all my dreams shattered? I mean, you know, there's nothing gonna happen
to me.
You're
closer to the end of things seriously. Than you are to the beginning.
And yet with health, you know, you say, well, barring some contingency, I'm gonna live another several decades. The hell do I want to do with my life? What kind of a quality of life do I have? And so they come in almost like what you were saying before, with all of this energy, but they don't know how to direct it. They don't know what's going to take them out of themselves mm-hmm. like you've got. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, Jess and I have had that conversation many times. I mean, we joked about it when I first started the podcast. Well, we first started the podcast. This kept me from moving away to San Diego again. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. that's no slighting the big show, as we call it. But this is, I mean, they both have a wonderful creative place in my life, and I
totally.
I don't know what I'd do without.
And since the beginning of the year, we made a promise that we were going to release every Tuesday, and you are a creature of habit, and you needed that.
I needed some sort of form and substance and reliability and label. Mm-hmm. I like labels. We know I like labels.
He likes labels. Mm-hmm. He has a label maker.
I have a label maker. You're a doctor. I don't know what label I put on me, but here I am. I don't know. I do want to get into this TM?
TM, yeah, Transcendental Meditation. And yeah, there's a little controversy with it because it's, you know, it costs like $1,000 or $900 or something.
Yeah, that's when I looked it up, I was
annoying.
Just like, what?
That's
I got to
pay
to meditate? That doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
No, but see, what did you just say? I need direction. I need someone to, mm-hmm. you know, and once I learn how to do it, I can do it, but.
I just decided that, say, directed meditation or guided meditation, I didn't have the discipline for that. But this, because you shell it out. Now, I guess I could say, you know.
Can't you get a book?
Yeah. Well, no. There are definitely alternatives that will teach you mm-hmm. a technique that's very analogous to this. To me, what I think is the variable is committing myself to 20 minutes twice a day. It's the faithfulness of the practice that works. Sally and I, Sally's a school principal, we get up at 5:30 in the morning, and the first thing we do is do a meditation for 20 minutes. And then in the afternoon, we do that again.
You know what I've rediscovered? And I was telling Jess this. It's something called, are you familiar with the program? It's called The Artist's Way.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a book and a
very
course
famous
you
book.
Can take.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it's Gestalt.
Gestalt.
Part of that, it's Gestalt-y. Yeah. I think that's an adjective.
Gestalt is a German word. And basically, like Gestalt therapist means you're not just dealing with the psyche, you're dealing with the totality of the person and their experience.
Yeah. And I had forgotten about it until I had forgotten about The Artist's Way. Not Gestalt. I love German and German words. But Schadenfreude, that's my favorite. It's not enough for me to win. Everyone else must fail. Anyway. I'd forgotten about The Artist's Way, and I was driving somewhere on the for the Bob and Tom Comedy Tour, and I was listening to a podcast. And it was Maron's podcast, and he was interviewing Bill Schaeft, who's been on our show. Mm-hmm.
I know Bill. I worked with him in comedy for years.
Very funny guy. Yep. But mm-hmm. he started talking about something called morning pages. Mm-hmm. And this was like almost a year ago now. And I re-remembered, oh my gosh, that's right. And I had not really done it on a consistent basis, but I had been writing something in the morning or in the middle of the night or whenever the mood had struck me, I started to notice that I had a lot of these emotions that I needed to get out and get onto mm-hmm. paper. And it really did help me. And for the past, I don't know, 6 months, 4 to 6 months, I've actually been making a point that I get up a little early.
Yep.
And, let the lady dogs out, and I sit down and I write something.
Yep.
And most often it's an email or a letter, and sometimes they're sent and sometimes they're not. But it's very, it gets my brain going. It gets rid of any, I don't even know if this is a term, like something would happen during the Bob and Tom show in the past, and I would have these residual emotions that I hadn't
yep,
gotten out of my system, and they would come out then. And
it's incredibly,
is any of this making any sense?
Totally, totally. It's cathartic and it's healthy. Look, here's, see if this simple explanation works. This is what we deal with as therapists. We're dealing with the problem of repression. In other words, thoughts that are uncomfortable to have, whatever, you repress them. You push them down. You don't want to think about them. Blah, blah, blah. Think about, you know, your fingers in your ear, blah, blah, blah. Often you're not conscious of it. You're just repressing it. Repression is bad. And if you repress, it's the way the organism is wired is that it will come out in some other form. In other words, it will be released. And now it can come out in healthy ways and you can talk about or act on the, you know, repressed thoughts, or it's going to leak out in some other way. Right. And so everything from...
It's like a balloon.
It is. There you go.
There you go.
So when you give yourself, whether it's, you know, morning pages or TM or, you know, any other kind of meditation or writing or expression or whatever, it's getting out what's tumultuous inside. That's that Ernest Becker.
Chef said that he has, because Marin, and Marin's obviously very cynical, and Mark is Mark, but he said that doesn't really work. I mean, you still don't write. He goes, oh yeah, every day, 30 minutes I sit down and write.
Yep.
And he goes, what do you actually write it? And he goes, oh yes, it's a big a yellow pad and a pencil. And he and Chef was very honest about it. He goes, he just gets everything going and I get stuff. So I guess if I'm trying to tell someone if they're having trouble with putting their emotions in the right place at the right time, that really is something that helps.
In therapy, even someone who is not like inclined to do writing or something like that and they're having trouble, this is often really helpful when someone lost someone when there's a death or something like that. And you know, when you can just write something to them, like what you would say or what you failed to say or what you wanted to say. And then sometimes it's a letter. Say what you'd like to say about your father, but don't send it. Just like get it out.
That's right. Yeah. Put that over in the save file.
There's a lot. Did I ever tell you the story about when I was working with the police? I work with the police. And we had to go do a death notification. And this is a death notification from a call from Wisconsin that they called the local police and they said, we need to have you tell so-and-so that so-and-so died. And so we go over to this office and got along with the woman. I'm there with the officer. I'm laughing because you'll know why.
I was going to say you're and chuckling so, during the death story.
So we said, yes, ma'am, are you so-and-so? Yes. Do you know so-and-so? And she goes, yes, that's my father. I said, well, I'm really sorry to tell you. We just got a call from Wisconsin that that he died. And she had a stone face and she went, good.
Oh, my like, goodness gracious.
And the officer actually coughed. And really? Wow. She goes, yeah, one less rat in the world. That's what she said to us.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So there was a story that obviously, and of course, as a shrink, I'm wanting to know, oh, my God, can we sit down and talk about this?
So let me ask you this. Part of me says that is a thought and an emotion she had to get out.
Yes.
But did she honestly mean, did she stick to that during the whole process?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it was probably a sense of relief if that's how she felt.
Because there was a time when I lost my mother and she was hooked up to these devices and my daughter, who was closest to her, my oldest daughter and I, we had to make the decision about my mother to put it in terms, we had to unplug her. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, I'm supremely content with my decision. I mean, I voted yes, we should unplug her.
Yeah.
Because for a lot of reasons. But when it was going on, I was really very much, I'm going to say, detached. I mean, I felt worse for my daughter than I did that my mother was dying.
Right.
Because my mom was not very nice most of the time.
Complicated.
Yes, very complicated. But there was a point where, you know, she was taking her last breaths, and I had to, you know, lean down and say it was okay and all this, and that was very emotional. But I look back and I
think you're smart enough that you would detach the history that made you want to just be so angry with her.
Right.
But then at the time going, hey, the doctor is saying this is the reality. And, you know,
there's no quality of life.
That's
left
right. Yeah. Exactly.
But
And your dad gene kicked in. And when your child is mourning or hurt, that totally trumps anything you're feeling.
Betcha. Yeah, that's right.
So that's probably where you
see. I could reframe this. That's what we're into in therapy. Reframing.
Ooh, I love the word.
I would reframe this to say whether you feel it or not, it was an act of kindness. If you really were like acting out, you wouldn't have unplugged her. You would have had her just...
Let her suffer.
Yeah. It was an act of...
Son of a gun. I should have...
it was an act of mercy. It was an act of mercy.
Is that the only person you've ever seen pass?
Actually seen?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And that, but that was the big kahuna. I mean, that was the,
sure,
the whale.
Your,
that
yeah,
was the white
your,
whale.
That's
that was
your mom. Right. Yeah, I can't imagine that.
I mean, that was, she.
That's right.
I was sitting here thinking, is that why I'm, I mean, people who truly know me, and there are like, I don't know, three.
And two of them are sitting here.
And two of them are sitting here. I mean, you guys know that at some, at most of the time in my life, and maybe I'm, maybe I've, maybe I don't know myself at all.
Mm-hmm.
I would characterize myself as being almost too kind. Is that? Like, I err on the side of...
Yes, I would say that's true.
I'm...
I would not.
There's a passivity you would not. To your
I
personality.
Would not.
Okay, well, you know
well,
better.
Too kind to strangers or... People people who matter to me, I would...
I don't... You're going to have to... Maybe we need to break it... Maybe we need to reframe this, Dr. Will.
We need to drill down, don't
no,
we?
No, because I would never... I would really find it hard to treat someone the way my mother treated me.
Sure. But you,
that's
but,
what I'm trying to say.
But instead of treating someone one way or another, most often you're...
No, total strength. I am on, constantly on guard and suspicious and paranoid of everyone I meet.
What's that? What like, not disinterested, but like what is it, where you don't care one way or the other.
Indifferent.
Indifferent. Thank you.
Disinterested? Mm-hmm. Not uninterested.
See, I think you don't like conflict. You don't, you're uncomfortable with conflict, and
you know what? I do like I do like conflict if it means something to me. Does that make sense?
That's right. You don't like foolish. Yeah, just so you blow. You know, it's almost like it's easier to be okay. Fine.
There are
whatever.
Things in my life happening right now where I really don't give a damn how it turns out, and you guys let me know what's happening.
Yeah,
because I could. You know, let me know who I need to call at the end of all this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's some things that if I don't find out what the heck's going on in the next 10 hours, I'm going to lose my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I, but what if I lose my mind
and then it's over.
And we start over.
Yeah.
So, begin again.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not, some things don't have an answer. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, you can see why I became a therapist. Let me tell you, when I was training in New York and the chief psychologist who was training us at this drug clinic we were working at.
I feel like I'm going crazy. Okay. Go
ahead. No, you're not. Okay. He said, let me tell you something. If you're not nosy, you cannot be a therapist.
And it's maybe like
curiosity about yeah. people, what makes
but
them
I think
tick.
It's all about, because I agree, I totally agree with that, and I also think that you have to know how to be nosy. You have to ask the right questions. You have to have the right facial expressions. You have to, mm-hmm. the tone of your voice, everything matters. And even when Chick does care and is interested, his body language and his voice maybe don't show that he does care or that he's
yeah. I could give a damn.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing, dude.
Where I, on the other hand, can talk to someone and you think that you're the only person in the room, and that's not to be
no, you have
don't use it for bad.
No, you have a therapist affect. In other
right.
words, and what it does is it encourages people to continue mm-hmm. to be open with you.
And to the point that they're rude sometimes. They feel like yes. they can say anything, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. they feel like they can start talking to me about my life
mm-hmm.
and tell me what their opinion is, even when I don't ask for it. We've been in situations where Chick will be like, oh, I'm so glad you had a good time. I had no idea you would get along with that person. I was like, I hated that person. He's like, what? Yeah.
And then I always go, you're very good.
You're very good.
You're very good. Mm-hmm. There's something right now going on with my son.
Mm-hmm.
And?
There has been for a long time.
How yeah. old? How old?
He will be 23.
Mm-hmm.
24.
Wait 21. A minute. At least 21.
91.
He'll be 23.
He'll be 23.
Yeah.
He is, at the beginning of April, moving mm-hmm. to a supervised, non-incarcerated facility
mm-hmm.
where he will be halfway home, somewhere in North Carolina. I was informed about this a couple days ago. And I find myself, especially with him, not so much the girls. I have two girls and a son. And I don't know why it is. I don't know what's happened, because if you gave me a setup there, or if I could have someone come back to life and be in my life, I would pick my dad. Absolutely, no question. Even though he'd probably be living in my house, and you know, I'd be helping him out or whatever. But I'm not concerned, but I feel like I should care more about what he's doing. Is that just a father-son thing? I want him to figure it out and come to me and go, Dad, here I am. It's all done. You know, I don't want to be...
There's a couple of things that I think that you're drawing from, and one is where you were in your life when you were 23 years old, and that you never had a father as an adult. Your father died when you were 24. Okay. So you, for the majority of your adult life,
well,
you haven't
had... Well, and let's face it, I really didn't have parents.
You didn't, but that's what
I'm
saying.
I had a buddy when I was a kid. That's about it.
But when you parent, we've been talking, Chick and I have been talking a lot about self-parenting and that voice in your head.
Oh, that's what we need to talk about. Yeah. Yes,
so
remember
I'm
that.
So saying, who is the voice in your head? Mm-hmm. You know, who's the voice in your head that is saying, hey, Charles... Hey, Chuck, this is what you would do with Griffin because this is what I did with you. Mm-hmm. You don't have that. There's no point reference.
I really don't.
I know.
I really don't have a voice in my head.
You actually have called my dad a couple of times
Absolutely.
To discuss this.
Absolutely. I'd like to call your dad more. Yeah. I'd call him every day.
Well, somebody should. I don't talk to him.
Write that down. Anyway, no, I mean, that's... I just want him to figure it out and come to me. And I don't... I almost, other than monetarily, evidently... I don't want to be involved.
This is where you're such a guy, too. Like, you don't have a lot of guy qualities,
no.
But when it comes to your son, you are very like, hey, we're guys, and this is how we're going to get shit done.
Fucking figure it out,
yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
When I was 23, I had a 2-year-old daughter. I was married. I worked full-time into what turned out to be what I did naturally pretty well. And I was entirely on my own. If I needed something, I had to lie, cheat, or figure it out. And then, but I didn't turn to, let's say, drug abuse or something like.
You've tried real hard.
I've tried real hard. Yeah. To this day, I'm still kind of trying every now and then. It just doesn't want to work.
There's no question that Americans and this is more
why do
recent,
I feel that way about my son, Doc?
Well, because
Will.
Well, the way you're raising the question is it inappropriate? I think what Jess is saying, it's like, I'm not sure it's inappropriate. It's like you're 23 years old. I mean, how long can you be infantilized where you need?
Now, and let's put it, it's just an after school fucking special. I mean, his mom is so, well, now he's finally in a good place. And she believes everything that comes out
of
his mouth.
And that, do you think that maybe the part of you is a little bit jealous of the mother that Griffin has? That she has been his cheerleader through everything?
Only entirely.
Okay.
But it's yin and yang. I mean, it's like the opposite extreme from what you have.
Oh,
I mean,
it is. Yeah,
oh, my God.
It is so flamboyantly other.
His mom is intelligent and rational and emotionally... Okay. I mean, but let's face it. My mom was at least bipolar. I mean, I've said this a million times.
Sure,
at least
bipolar.
Yeah. I mean, is that it? Is it just jealousy? And
well, first of all, riddle me this, Batman. Why did you marry someone who's the exact opposite of your mother?
No kidding.
Hello, McFly. I mean, so that's not a criticism. It's a net. Listen, to anyone listening, everyone can relate to this. The conflicts that you have with a parent very often become part of the driver for what you seek in a mate. And it can go either you inadvertently, unconsciously do the same thing. You find someone who is like critical or punitive, or you go to the opposite extreme of someone who's nurturing, caretaking, whatever that is.
All right, let me riddle you this, Batman.
I like all the riddles.
I married three women in my life. And I guess the one thing that all three had in common were they were very, I guess, willful, strong women who, I don't want to use the term boss, but whatever they did.
They ran a tight ship.
They ran, two of them, in exceptional corporations, and I only discount the first one because I was so young when I married her, and I give her a chance, she would have wanted to run a big corporation too. But then... I meet someone who's not like any one of them, and that's the girl that I...
Do we get to meet her?
Really? One of these days, Jess. Okay. I really fall for, and nothing seems to ever work out with that. I don't. So I've resigned myself to that's whatever. You know, I'm going to be.
To kind of like make it a little.
I guess I don't know if it's going to solve
question
anything.
Question for me or Dr. Will?
I'm talking to him okay. right now. You just wait for this dream girl to walk in. Go ahead.
Okay. Can't wait to meet her. Yeah.
You know, the women you describe are women who are.
And much younger. And the fourth one, much younger than me. Just throw that wow. in the mix.
I didn't see that coming.
No.
So, but self-motivated, driven caregivers who take you under their wing?
Well, even the fourth one, yeah, even even you, sissy pants. You know
what? I
mean, what? What?
Have caregiving capacity, which is a
the
huge,
term that the term
it's wonderful. Why wouldn't you seek that?
The term has been used that I need to be adored.
Well, see, that's
did she say that? She's very smart.
You know, that's what's to say the truth. I think that's hyperbole. The fact of the matter is, let's get it down to where it is. You are. You feel fulfilled when you're with a woman who has the honest caregiving capacity and ability to be a caregiving person that was denied you cruelly
right. sure.
for right. 20 years.
Right.
And three out of the four of those ladies that I've described exhibited those qualities initially.
Yes.
And then they went away.
Right. And now your son, who has been the benefactor of that kind of extreme nurturing.
And is still to this day.
It's extreme nurturing.
Right.
And so he got what you didn't get. And so naturally there'd be this discomfort between you and him.
I'll use animosity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm downright jealous of this kid.
That's I didn't want to say the word, but that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you little twit.
You had
you had everything.
And I don't get more upset with him. And he's done lots of stuff. But the most upset I get at him is when he lies to his mom, and I hear about it from her, and here's what he did, and she's crying, and mm-hmm. it's like, who does he?
Yeah, that's right.
But there's a part of you that still takes responsibility for his actions.
Yeah, I'm like the cured shoplifter, and there's yeah. a part of him that's freaked out by me because I know what he's doing,
that's
I know
right.
what he's thinking.
That's right.
Because that was me, and I was.
Can I quote a guy from Indiana University, a psychologist named, get this name, Julian Rotter.
Rotter.
It's his actual name, Rotter.
Dr. Rotter.
And he came up with this term, locus of control. I think you'll find this very interesting. And okay. he said some people have an external locus of control. Now, let's start the other way. They have an internal locus of control, which means that they believe actually that, you know, I can pretty much control what's going on to me. I'm task-oriented, et cetera. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? You go after it. You pursue things. They get into trouble when things actually elude their control. You know, I used to do a whole thing in my comedy act about fear of flying because it's like I'm not in control. I have to be passive in that.
Right.
Sure. Then there are people who have an external locus of control where they are wired kind of deep in their personality and how they're enculturated that – they're at the mercy of forces that control them from the outside. Now, you think about people in horrendous suffering around the world. Naturally, you are like that. You have an external locus of control. You feel that you are sort of in many ways at the mercy of things outside yourself that dictate to you. And I think that explains why, you know, you're like Eeyore.
Oh, well.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, I don't know. And I think that's just sort of like that's part of your presentation. But inside, of course, you're curdling.
Fermenting.
Fermenting, that's right. But it's all coming out of you. I think you're in the middle of this humongous transition, and it's delightful. I love watching what's happening to you.
In the words of Archie Bunker and Edith, when Edith was going through menopause and Archie didn't understand it, and Edith goes, I'm going through the change, Archie. And he goes, well, how long is this going to take? Just go ahead and change already, will you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's really good stuff. You've allowed yourself to be the focus, the locus, if you will, of the analysis that everyone listening to you can relate to.
I get that a lot. People,
of course,
I'm,
you do.
I'm just as crazy as you
that's
are.
That's right.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The language isn't right.
Yeah.
I'm just as conflicted as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Or I feel like very much like Jess. I can empathically relate to Jess. I mean, I can relate to you. I have people in my life like that, you know.
Well, there's this new book called Self-Parenting.
Yeah.
And like you said, when you make a decision as an adult, when you start making decisions or when you start talking to yourself about, you know, well, I'm going to go into the drugstore and I'm going to get some bottled water, whatever. What voice do you hear when you, and not only it's a step farther, no, it's a step further, it's you will talk to yourself and treat yourself the same way you were treated during your formative years. And I'm sure you're very well aware of this. But this was just like, not only like a big searchlight came into my face when I go, there is. And in that case, I do treat myself the way my mother treated me.
Yes.
You know, I like, you're not good enough for that. Everything you're getting, you deserve.
Yep.
And you're just lucky to have friends. And you do. And you, on, I mean, it's just.
You know what? You may have unplugged her, but you didn't bury her.
I mean, it's just, you know, like.
She's still alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I have good days and I have bad days, but it's still, I try, but I'm not, believe it or not, in this case, I'm not having the most trouble in that area. I don't think. I think she has more trouble in this area than I do.
That's true. We at a,
she does not give herself a break for a second.
Well, what she'd like with you is change already.
Change already.
Come on.
No, in our yoga practice yesterday, we had to do an altar, which is just a question for you to consider. And it was, who is your guru? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you immediately are like, I really had trouble with it because I had a lot of, if you're born into our family, whether it takes a village, you get a village. Okay.
Yep.
And so, I was thinking about it, and I guess I just I just thought about my dad because he was the primary parent. He was the one who raised me, if you want to say that. And I realized that I adopted a lot of his regret, a lot of his. If this didn't go exactly as I planned it, then I am going to make sure that I am miserable about it for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I've treated myself. And so realizing that, you know, be in the present, all of those things that they say, but realizing that I am very, very hard on myself. And that voice in my head is my dad. And it's not necessarily that he was hard on me. It was how he lived his adult life is how I am living my adult life.
What you internalized from that voice.
Right.
That's right.
And I was at dinner. It was me and my son at dinner the other day. And I asked him, I said, do you think that we're going to be close when you're an adult? Do you think we'll meet for dinner? Do you think we'll talk regularly? Yeah. And I said, well, I just worry about it because I'm not close to my parents and I don't have a relationship with them. He goes, well, of course you don't. And I said, what? And he goes, you're nothing like them. He goes, there's no sameness. Why would you want to hang out with them?
How old is he?
He's 11.
Yeah.
And I said, Max is my guru. Yeah. And he says things like that all the time, but he's just, I was like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, how did you just make this okay?
They're football fans, and you like baseball.
Right. Yeah, it was so
right
simple.
Right there.
You ain't got no common.
It was so simple, but in my head, I keep hearing him say, "There's no sameness."
You know, people. This idea about the internalized voice really goes back to this. Freud was the one who really kind of was talking about this, and it became cliched about the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other.
Right.
And he said that the ego, which is sort of like your sense of yourself, and then we have voices. We have the voice of like our primary urges, you know, man, it'd be really great to feel good, you know, like, which is always driven toward pleasure, the pleasure principle.
I'm going to eat a chocolate cake.
Exactly.
A whole cake.
And then guess what? I'm going to do it again.
And then going to vomit it out. Oh.
What?
And then, but then you have the other voice called the superego, which is that angel going,
No,
chick, do not put it down, put
Certainly
it down. You
not.
Know, that's evil. And so it became kind of almost a joke. But the fact of the matter is that there's a way in which, how strong is the voice on each side? I mean, do you not have, you know, many people have a punitive voice that's telling them what not to do. Ring a bell.
Yeah.
And then others just don't have that voice at all, maybe because it was absent for them. I had a client who I was working with who was raised in L.A. in horrible situations and was maltreated like hideously. And his spouse now was like, you know, you have issues. I don't have any issues. You know, he says, I have no issues.
I got you issues. Yeah, right here.
And she was like, well, look what happened to you. He goes, yeah, it happened to everybody. No, his perspective was, in his neighborhood, everybody was treated like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so the inner voice for him is like, well,
that gets back to the every now and then, if I start a new therapist or psychiatrist, I'll tell them, tell me a little bit about your childhood. Well, the typical story was I was 18 years old, and we had a pool table at my house, and we're shooting pool, and I made some smart-ass comment, and my mother hit me in the head with a pool cue, and my head bled. That is a true story.
Yeah.
You were 18 when that happened?
I was 18. But, I mean, before she hit me in the head, she hit me, as you can imagine, my upper body, and all, and I was blocking and everything, and she finally, and I tell therapist that, and they have the most horrified look on their face, but I tell them the way I just told you that.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's just, I went out and I got the paper, and I had some orange juice, and I watched the morning news. I mean, it really, I mean, she was that,
yes.
I mean, there are some stories and some things that she did that obviously I realized decorum prevents me from sharing,
it's like Dr. Evil. My childhood was pretty typical.
Inconsequential. Yes. A short scrotum.
Meat helmets.
Lessons. Yeah. But it seems not okay, but it doesn't seem
so
as
for 25 years,
as it should.
Approaching half of your lifespan, that was the voice that you had internalized.
Oh, yeah.
And
it used to be a lot worse.
And so, and so now, over the past 25 years, you're in a career, in a job, and you're managing your life with relationships, et cetera, and you're kind of pushing all that. You know it's there, but it's like, you know, well, now you're saying at your age, it's like, well, you know what? Enough of that crap. Enough of that. I mean, this is why people seek out mentors. You know, and sometimes the mentors are pretty esoteric. I mean, you know, Eastern mysticism, Jesus.
I really like the whole Buddhist thing. I really like that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, like
well,
that.
You know what I like about Eastern approach to that? I'm a practicing
I like
Christian.
The art. I like the
absolutely.
Robes.
I like everything.
The comfortable robes.
The robes, the beards, everything.
They seem to have a lot of flowers. I like that.
There's not a lot of body odor involved in that.
Somehow some of them are overweight and they're fine.
But it's
their diet.
It's the sand art and things. They do the sand
art. Well, they're not eating meat, and so there's nothing kind of corrosive coming out of their pores.
Mm.
But they internalize that. That's the voice they listen to and look to. And there's something really wonderful about that. And you know, the authentic Jesus, not the screwed up Jesus. Was you ever hear that? One of my favorite quotes is, a guy said to me one time, he goes, I think about Jesus the way I think about Elvis. I love the guy, but I can't stand his fans. Do you know what I mean?
Dave Matthews. Same way I feel about Dave Matthews.
Yeah.
You like Dave Matthews, but you don't like Dave Matthews fans.
Yeah. But in other words, seeking a mentor or a voice that you say, now that's a trustworthy voice. Dalai Lama or, I mean, whoever it is. And obviously, it doesn't have to be someone, you know, detached from you. It can be a role model that's in your life. It could be a mentor who you trust. Now,
I can't think of anybody.
I mean,
other than you, maybe.
No, but that's fair. In other words, it's fair to say that my life, you know, listen, the roll of the dice and my life did not get populated with a lot of really, you know, Dalai Lama-like voices.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so where do you get them? Well, doing yoga, for example, offers you an opportunity on a regular basis. Meditation would do that for you, where you sort of just get in touch and you hear a voice that's different than the voice that's been screaming in
your ear. It's Kundalini, I think, is a form of meditation that I've started to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how much you like that and you like apps, but
you're talking my language.
Is it meditation timer or?
Yeah, I use that.
Meditation timer.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you stay awake?
No, that's the thing, is that you set it for 5 minutes and then you don't have to worry about, like, if you fall asleep, you're going to wake up. And if you feel like you can't stay in it and you want to keep looking at the clock, well, it'll ding either way. You set the time. And it's also really cool because sometimes you can, if you look at the app, you can, it'll show you, it'll say 743 people were meditating with you.
Right.
And there's such a, like, wow.
Well, that feeling of community, yeah, and belonging.
First of all, let me debunk something. If you fall asleep, so what?
Yeah, big deal. Why are you worried about it? So what? What are you supposed to be doing when you're meditating anyway?
Yeah, I mean,
it feels like I'm. It feels like I'm boring myself. Is what it feels like. And I've fallen asleep. It feels like I'm letting myself down.
No,
you're letting yourself down.
I'm telling you, as your mentor, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you're not like. Commit yourself to a reasonable time, say in the morning. Can you do 50, or in the afternoon, 15 minutes, 20 minutes or something?
Oh, I got time.
Yeah. And so you just, you know, sit there in a comfortable chair and just, you know, and with TM.
And then I open my eyes. Yeah. There are four eyes staring at me.
I know,
the
but
dogs,
wait.
Those damn dogs.
The dogs, yeah.
I just learned this the other day, and I'd never heard this in all the times of trying to meditate, that when you close your eyes, look down at your heart.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Oh.
It changes it. It definitely is.
Who said that? I want them to be my mentor.
I read it. I have to. I'll
get them the name.
Yeah. Yep.
Is there a book? Is there like a number one book that you would go, you need to read this and you'll meditate? And is it like any dummy can meditate in 10 minutes?
Well, there is Meditation for Dummies. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
There is?
There's Meditation for Dummies.
I feel like that might be.
Download it on your iPad or something. Just download it from iBooks.
Maybe I don't
know. Okay, wait. Well, let me just add this. The reason that meditation gets studied and affirmed is because what they can study is the physiological effects in your body. So what are they doing? They're looking at your brain. They're like
blood pressure,
activity in your brain, blood pressure, mm-hmm. heart rate, etc. And then the accumulating impact of doing it regularly over time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with again, you know, and so if you're sitting there and you fall asleep. And you wake up and you decide, okay, I fell asleep. Now I'm just going to kind of keep trying to clear my mind and not think about stuff and keep doing that. But you do that for 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the afternoon, and you do it day 2, day 8, day 38, year 1, year 2. The accumulating effect of that is profound. And even falling asleep, guess what's happening when you're falling asleep? Your blood pressure is lower, your heart rate's lower, your brain.
And I've been having a lot of trouble with that lately. I mean, I had the most horrific nightmare.
What did you eat before you went to bed?
3 or 4. A meatball sub. No, I did that for comedy. Nothing.
Really?
No.
See, I think your brain is kind of coming alive in new ways. It has been.
I don't want to, you know, I have trouble talking about myself, but we all know that I am. Shut up. In a positive way, I meant. Why are you laughing? You're laughing right at my face.
I'm sorry.
Have we talked?
No, this is your podcast. You can talk about you all you want.
Well, we wanted to talk about you, but you won't
talk. I don't want to talk. I'm fine. I am completely mentally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
See, you just keep telling yourself that, and eventually you get it. Fake it till you make it.
No, but the difference is that Jess, in fact, who has a life with lots of challenges and lots of turbulence and her own history and complicated relationships, but the fact of the matter is, she enacts opportunities. She seeks opportunities and enacts strategies and practices that will help her get some relief.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we're describing for you.
Yeah.
And you're doing it.
Do you have
this podcast?
Do you have a mantra that you do, like a 2 or 3 word? Do they do that in TM also?
Yeah. A mantra. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You're not supposed to share.
You're not supposed to share, like, your mantra with anybody, though, are you?
I don't. I think there is a mantra that you get with that $1,000, but is that true?
Well, it's a good one. It's not some cheesy thing out of Meditation for Dummies. I mean,
and
you know,
it better be really dirty.
I agree.
Too.
Because I
you just pick something.
You can't. The first word, how I have done it, is that when you inhale, you say the word, and when you exhale, you say the second word, or however you want to do it, whatever the pattern is for you. Like mine is accept today. Accept today. Like, be present, be now, accept today. Don't worry about tomorrow or yesterday. That's what I've been trying to do for myself.
Yeah, but.
And it sounds like a load of shit, but I'm being serious.
Yeah, but what about tomorrow?
But tomorrow you get to say, except today, tomorrow. So worry about that tomorrow.
Yeah, but what about the next day?
how about this?
I can keep this up all time, baby.
Others are wrong.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, here's the
that would have been my mother's.
The way mantra. The psychology of the mantra is that, like in TM, it's essentially acknowledged to be a meaningless word or sound. And so the idea is, if you think about a meaningless, say, I don't know, something that has no meaning, you know.
You could do one, two, one, two. Like if you just counted.
Who's the, who's the rap impresario who's really into TM? Russell Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
Russell Simmons has a really good book on it. It's a really good book by Russell Simmons. He's into TM, but at the end of his book, he teaches you how to do it. And he says, just take a word that has no meaning. And I think when he suggests is rum, just rum, rum, rum. Mm-hmm. And it's, here's what the mantra is supposed to do. When you're sitting there and you're quiet and you start thinking thoughts and your mind is going to thoughts, you're going to think about the show, you're going to think about this. And when you realize that you're going to those thoughts, you then start saying rum, rum, rum. And you concentrate on that word and it's taking you away from the thought to the mantra. And then you try and just have that mantra and you start it and you just keep saying it until it like disappears. And then you're silent. And then after a while, your mind will go back to thoughts. When you don't fight it, when you realize that you've gone to those thoughts, come back to the mantra. The mantra is meaningless. It's something to just take you away from the thought. Rum, rum, rum. And then you stay still and your mind is blank. It's what Maharishi calls pure consciousness. It's just like you're not thinking thoughts, but you're awake. You're very awake.
I've heard you're supposed to picture yourself in a movie theater with nothing on the screen and stare at the screen.
Yeah, in other words, there are a lot of...
That's
yes,
for you.
That's for me, right?
Yeah, that was specifically, I think, said for you.
What affect was it said with? For you, just think about it.
Yeah, keep your money. First of all, keep your fucking money. Now.
You want some help? All right. Here, try this. What do you like to do? You like to go to the movies?
You want to work on yourself? Okay. Knock off early. All right? There. That's the best thing you can do.
All right, let's pretend the movie's over. Just sit there in the theater and just look at the screen.
Hey, you like movies? I like movies. Here's the thing.
So that's the technique of what meditation is supposed to do is to, like they say, empty your mind. Here's a good illustration they use in TM, which I love. They say, think about the ocean. And the ocean, the surface of the ocean is very turbulent, waves and activity. But we know that below it's silent, quiet. And so they use that illustration to say your mind is like the surface of the ocean. And you're trying to get down to...
Or like a duck paddling underwater.
Yes.
That's along. Upside down, though.
Or a sea turtle.
That's opposite of what he's saying.
Right. You're floating along.
So in other words, the surface is very turbulent, noisy, and busy, and you know, whatever. And so the idea of meditation is really to get to the deep, to the deep.
Go down underwater.
So
you want me to drown myself.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a guy teach me some meditation. Yeah. And it almost killed me.
You heard of what's her face? Put the rocks in her pocket.
Virginia Woolf.
Virginia Woolf. Yeah, why don't you try that?
That'll work for you. So the inner voices, but the inner voice that you have is, you know, it needs to be unplugged.
Yeah, I need to get away from it,
and
right?
Buried.
Yeah.
It needs to be buried. Yeah.
Have you visited your mother's grave since she died?
No, God, no. Why would I do that?
I don't know. Maybe you have to do a little emotional burial there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I just got it. Mm-hmm. From the doctor.
I know people who've done that.
Yeah.
I went with someone one time who asked me to go. They had a real complicated relationship and were full of whatever. And so we went to the cemetery and they just sat there and felt what they felt and it's emotional and.
Yeah, yeah, pick it up.
What about the first scene of House of Cards?
Yeah.
The first scene in this season.
Oh, my God.
Where he goes to his dad's
have
grave.
You watched...
That's it. I'm only on the second episode, okay. So don't go any further.
We just watched the second episode, too.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done.
Oh.
I'm not saying a word.
Don't say a word.
Not saying a word.
But he takes a leak in his old man's grave.
Yeah.
But you know me and how I like good television and...
And what would you give this? What grade would you give this season?
A.
You've given
it,
an
is
a.
it going to go on? Is it going to be another season?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to have to. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to have to have another season. Or I'm going to
do you know what
go
I
find
think?
Kevin Spacey.
You've seen the second episode.
Yes.
Where she, at the end, well, not the end. I don't know. Maybe I haven't seen the whole second episode now that I think about it. But she's frying eggs.
Yeah.
I think she's pregnant. I don't know, though.
The first episode was I was jealous that I didn't write it. It
really?
Was really like that is something everyone can identify with what he does at her at his dad's at his dad's grave.
How can everybody identify with
I
that?
I think everybody that's like almost a saying in our in our culture.
Grave?
Yeah, go piss on your grave. Yeah, I mean that's
oh, you mean that? Okay, okay.
That initial that is such a galvanizing.
Really?
It's like taking all the viewers and going, "Come on in, here we go." Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Huh.
That's not my favorite scene, though, from the series.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
Well, it's well done. Kudos to Kevin Spacey.
Oh, no kidding. I just love him. Best. He is the best.
He's pretty good.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do I got to do again? I'm going to take a break. I got to go to South Dakota. That's what I got to do. I got to go to South Dakota.
You're going to South Dakota this weekend?
I go to South Dakota. Yep.
And then where?
What city?
Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls.
And gets right back up.
Who's going with you? Who's with you on this one?
Dwight Slade, Dave Dyer, and someone else.
Okay.
I can't remember.
By the way, I can plug
my podcast. It's a good group. You said
it
was
a
good group.
It is a good show. I'm forgetting someone amazing and wonderful, and okay. I'm going to look that up while you're talking. Go ahead. Say something.
I can plug my podcast. Can I plug my podcast?
Nope. Of course, darling.
DrWill.com, and it's on... health and wellness. It's a shrink talk. I think you'll like it. And they're short episodes. We have short episodes.
Are you trying to say that this episode was too long?
No.
See how my mom did that? What are you trying to imply? No one says what they mean and then means it. Dwight Slade, Kostaki, and Greg Hahn.
Oh, Kostaki.
There you go.
Yeah, those are that's a great. Dyer's not even. Oh, well, that's even better. Dyer does this workout, okay?
I don't want to hear about him.
It's 10 push-ups, 10 set-ups. Sit-ups and 10 squats with no weight.
How many times? How many rounds?
10 times.
Mm-hmm.
10 times each.
Mm-hmm.
And see how under 10 minutes you can get it.
Mm-hmm. You think he's just messing with you?
You think he is?
Yeah, just to see if he'd do it.
He seems like one of my friends, though. He might be a mentor.
Yeah, but we've talked about your choice in friends.
Yeah, what is
not
that
a lot
all
of mentor
about?
Material?
I don't know.
Why do I not?
Are you their mentor?
God,
does he gravitate toward people for whom he becomes their mentor?
If mentor you mean, can you get me tickets to Bob Seger? Yes.
Yeah.
That is what he is.
That's right. Yeah.
No, I think that there are some people that could, but a lot of the people that he's befriended lately are younger and they've grown up listening to him. And so they kind of have that fandom.
Yep.
I would really like for him to meet someone and then have no idea what he does. But that's so hard to do because...
Yeah.
He's such a...
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. No question.
Yeah.
Oh,
except to the dogs. The dogs don't care. And she said I talk about my dogs too much.
I didn't say that. You said that.
Did
every time
that?
You talk about the dogs, you go, and I'm talking about the dogs again. And I was like, it's no big deal. You live with them. I talk about my kids all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but your kids are...
You
humans.
Said that. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. They're creatures in your care.
There were people at yoga last night that said their dogs were their gurus.
Yeah.
They bring them so much happiness and help them be better that is...
And they center them because there's nothing neurotic.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the definition of a neurosis, the inability to keep your mind in the present moment.
It was funny that because of my second dog that I didn't know I was going to get a second dog. I was against having a second dog.
Stop saying it like it's bad.
I'm not. Will you hang on a flipping second?
His second dog was my dog.
Her dog, and she tried to have a second dog with the dog she has now, but her dog...
My dog is very aggressive.
And very old and crabby. And so the second dog was a puppy, more or less.
Oh, she was a little puppy.
But we were talking about it on the show the other day, and Tom said, is that your foster dog? That you're... And I said, yeah, that's my foster dog. And... I heard Jess's voice in my head going, like
no,
you.
I sent you an IM.
Yeah,
and
you
I
sent
said,
me an IM. That's
I
right.
said, that you are not fostering that dog. You would never give me Ruby back. And you're
and
like, you're right. I will never give her back.
I mean, not only because because she has this way where if I'm upset or something, She's an Australian Shepherd, so she has big ears, and her ears pretty much tell her story. I mean, whatever they're doing, that's how she feels. And if she's upset or scared or nervous or sad, they go right down next to her head. And if I'm upset, she'll come over and she'll just kind of like almost army crawl over with her ears all down and look at me. And I'm like, oh my God, this dog.
She knows you're sad.
And there's no way that I could.
Anyone who owns a dog, has a dog, there's something going on that you really can't tell. Yeah.
That's something else.
Yeah. We love our dog. We're thinking now about getting a puppy because our dog is seven, and we'd like to get another dog maybe in this coming year.
What kind of dog do you have?
She's a rescue through Bob and Tom, through
through
Dean and she's a mostly she's a spaniel. She's a spaniel breed, and she's perfect. She's absolutely great. We just love her. She's been perfect from the very beginning. So,
boy, but you can't get around that mud. Man, they bring in a lot of mud.
Oh, right now it's terrible.
Yeah. Lord.
And it's going to be this way for the next couple of months.
I got to get new kitchen rugs. I got to do all sorts of stuff. So, what am I going to do until we talk again? I'm gonna start meditating.
You're gonna download the app because we know you like apps.
Sprinkle sent me an IM. There's an app called Calm.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Can I try that?
Mm-hmm.
I tried to do one of those apps that do the white noise to help you fall asleep, and it scared me.
Really?
I was afraid I was gonna start hearing things that weren't there, so I had turned off. And then I just turned on the bathroom fan, and I felt better.
Okay, David Lynch and Russell Simmons. They each have a book on meditation. And it's really good.
All right.
Get that. And Dr. Will's Neighborhood, drwill.com. My podcast is on.
All things Dr. Will.
Hey, if somebody wants to get a hold of you to come out and speak to them and talk to them as a group, you still do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you do that? You go to drwill.com.
Drwill.com.
And there's a little tab there.
Or they can go to shrink55@mac.com. Shrink. 55, S-H-R-A-N-K, 55, at mac.com.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
It sounds odd.
I love you guys.
We love you.
We love you, Doc. Are you all right? You don't need to talk about anything.
I talked about it. I'm right here, man. Like, I'm on the surface.
What is it chill. Today, now? What is it?
Today. Except today.
Except today. Today, now.
But then, but when I say it, it starts to sound like... Accept today, not
accept, exile. Not yeah. accept,
right.
accept.
Yeah, and so right. I might have to come up with something new, but that was just what I
think mine's going to be. The sun will come out tomorrow. How's that?
That's good.
It'll work.
Have you seen the new Annie?
No,
yeah, me either.
I saw it on stage the other day.
Oh yeah, how was that? You like that?
Good. It was good. And the little girl that played Annie was from Indiana, and she had a lot of fans there, and it was awesome.
Oh, cool.
I cried at the end.
What about the dog? Was there a good dog for Sandy?
There was a good dog. There was a good dog for Sandy. Not you don't see Sandy a lot, but yeah, there was a good dog for Sandy.
Yeah.
You know, I've read that sometimes Sandy gets moody, and there's an elastic, if you will, way that they can present that play where Sandy can be in the play as much as they need him or her.
Is that true?
No, I mean, I just made that up. Thank you, Jess. I realized the last episode I didn't thank you at the end of the podcast.
Bless you, Jess. I love you, honey.
Love you, too. Thank you.
Thank you for downloading the Off the Air podcast. This is going to come out after I go to South Dakota and Illinois, so I had a great time.
I know I did.
Don't worry, baby, I'll figure out something. Nothing my nine can't fix. Back in the singer, slip my Mickey and give me a finger. All right. I had a figure for a ringer, but I had no idea the key. I was using the singer, but it's all right cause I love you, baby. It's all right cause I love you, girl. It's all right cause I love you, baby. You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's roll. It's all right cause I love you, baby. It's all right cause I love you, girl. It's all right cause I love you, baby.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's roll.